Okay, recording. So we're talking about a mixture of chametz into something else. So not only is it forbidden to eat a kezayis of a pretzel, b'chadei achilas pras on Pesach, but it's also forbidden to eat a kezayis of a taruvas chametz, where there is enough of the chametz mixed in order to, when you eat this thing, to get a kezayis b'chadei achilas pras. And if I do eat that, even though it's a mixture of chametz with other things, that also violates Pesach.
Right. And he
Okay.
cites what we had in the daf, the Kutach HaBavli.
Right. And this is actually, we learn that the limud comes from Nazir, because it says that you shouldn't have mishras. You're
Right.
not allowed to have, Nazir can't have wine, but the Nazir also can't
Bread soaked in wine.
right, you can't have a bread that's drenched in wine. So this is this is obviously considered the Torah law, but we have to be careful because based on the pasuk acharei rabim lahatos, that we go after the majority. So midoraisa, anything that mixes in with a greater amount of the other thing takes over. Now, of course, the Rabbanon are capable of establishing certain proportions and ratios to determine how something can halachically be nullified. The number 60 was not just pulled out of a hat. The number 60 it also comes from Maseches Nazir, which is, by the way, a very important Masechta for these issues. There's one most important Masechta that has, I mean, it's such a an obscure topic that the majority of the Masechta is really about Taruvus. The law is Orla, Yerushalmi Orla. And the how much can you talk about Orla, for goodness sakes? There's three, four halachas in Orla, and that's it. Now the rest of it is Taruvus. The Nazir law is that the Torah says to cook some of the, it's called the Zroa B'Sheila, right? The cooked Zroa. So that Zroa is cooked in a larger amount. And the two amounts that are cooked together are not the same level of achila. One has 2 days to eat it, one has 1 day to eat it. Right? So the Gemara says, how can you cook these things together? They're imparting tam from the thing that has only 1 day to eat it and the thing that has 2 days to eat it. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the smaller thing is we mishaer that it's 1/60th of the larger thing in average, and therefore we can consider it to be batal. Tosfos asks the obvious question.
What is a zroa? Is that like a shank bone or a
Yeah, a
seed?
piece of the arm.
Okay.
Yeah, so Tosfos asks the obvious question. The Torah is telling the Nazir to do that. It's lechatchila he's doing that. So the Torah is lechatchila telling the Nazir to mevatel something b'shishim. Does that mean we can do that? So Tosfos says, this is his lashon, ein lanu ela chidusho. You can't go from the chiddush of Nazir to the chiddush of mevatel nisu lechatchila. That would revolutionize kashrus. You can have a cholent recipe that calls for 6 pats of butter, right? As long as it's batel b'shishim. Right?
Right.
The assumption is that whatever ingredients you put in something, it's because that ingredient is going to be flavored. It's going to be tasted somehow. Right? Usually there's something called no sein ta'am. Does it give taste in this thing? If it doesn't give taste, then it's bottle. Our normative halacha is that we don't check to see if it imparted taste. We just check to see if the number is 60. However, that being said, there are some things, but notably spices, that by the nature of their particular properties for wanting to cook with them, you don't need shishim. I assure you, if you had a big pot of soup and you put in 1/100th of the volume of curry powder, you will make render that soup totally inedible. Right? That's going to have tom. right? Curry powder in one in a thousand is going to make its presence felt. So that's why the Gemara says that those kind of spices are never bottled. Okay? All right, so that's a 60. If there are other things that need 100 to be bottled, some things need 200 to be bottled, and the Gemara, the Yerushalmi and Orla tells you all of these limudim, mostly from Sukkim in Yecheskel. Okay, let's get into our text. Let's read a little bit of the actual Mechaber, what the Minchas Chinuch calls the Mechaber, which is the text of the Sefer HaChinuch. It's a little humbling to consider that this text was originally written for his six-year-old son, right? And everybody have it. It's three. I gave just three pages. It's mitzvah yud beis shelo lechol mikol devar sheish bo chametz, right? Shelo lechol midvarm sheish ben chametz v'af api she'ein ikar hadavar chametz. Even though the chametz is not the main thing, kigon kutach habav liyer. And there you go. Uchiyotzibo shneimar kol machmetzes lo socheilu upirshu zichron levracha she'inyan akosuv hazeh yoreh bazeh shekach kiblu haperush bo. That when it says kol machmetzes, so usually what you find in English translations is yeast, right? Because machmetzes sounds like it makes something else chametz. Yeast helps to
it's the leavening agent.
It's an agent that causes other things to become leavened. But however, the Gemara darshans that this actually refers to something that has chametz in it, even though it's not the main ingredient. Right now, everybody knows you can be violating Balyura Balyuratze, Mimatze with this thing, because Balyura Balyuratze does not have a shear to violate owning the chametz. The question is, what violates eating the chametz? Now, since we made a bittul before Pesach, so the halacha is that, I'll give an example in the Gemara, that let's say you have a kneading board, and there are cracks in the it's a wooden kneading board. There are little cracks in it, and dough gets into those cracks. You don't have to take a knife and scissor it out, because first of all, if it's less than a kezias, then your mind isn't on it. Moreover, if the issue is that you may come to eat this thing, no, it's stuck in the middle there, right? You don't have to let the bittle cover that, right? Every family always has some mishugana who goes into all the nooks and the crannies and picks up all the, you know, and puts a knife under each chair and takes apart the screws and makes sure, you know, all right, fine. That's a guarantee for success against the Yetzer Hara, maybe. But in reality, the Gemara says that if it's less than a kezias, your bittel will take care of it.
Rabbi? I heard a rabbi, we were just speaking about this 2 days ago, about a dishwasher for Pesach, stainless steel.
Yeah.
He said that you can run the dishwasher on the very hot thing empty, two cycles, and it would be good for Pesach. Now, I will tell you this. We have always changed the filter and gotten new racks for Pesach, but I heard he said you don't have to do that. And this sort of falls into place with if there's dough in the middle of a wooden thing, you can still use it on Pesach. Why would the dishwasher be able to be used by running it without changing the rack?
So I think the dishwasher is easier. You know, kashering out a dishwasher, as long as you clean out, of course, the filter and you clean out the food catch, it's like kashering a pot. As long as it's stainless steel, then it's like kashering. I don't see the problem.
But the racks aren't, those are plastic. The
racks are plastic. Okay, so they have a different
issue. But he said, again, that falls in place. You're saying if there's a little chametz and it doesn't make the whole thing chametz, like you said, you don't have to go crazy and take the dough out of the little cracks in the wood.
Yeah, okay. The dishwasher is a little different because the dishwasher is whatever's in might be in those cracks goes in and goes out. You know, things get in there.
Yeah, that's
and
why you run it twice. That's why he suggested you run it twice on the hottest you can, And again, that
And he tells you to put in something, some kind of cleanser also, because the cleanser renders that inedible also. Right. There's a number of differences here, because the cracks, the dough that gets into those cracks, are not going to get back into your food, because first of all, the poskim say that wooden dough tray, it has to be covered. You have to put something on top of that, paper or a tablecloth or something like that.
Yeah, but if you're cutting on it, you have a knife, it could easily, I could see that more easy than actually possibly a dishwasher, because you cut a challah on it, or not challah, I mean, you cut your meat on it, and the knife goes through the paper or whatever you're covering it with, and it actually hits one where the dough is, you pull it out.
Yeah, so remember, the first Tosfos in Rashi in the Masechta discuss competing issues of what do we care more about? Shema yimtza gluska yafeh, which means you may come to actually eat something that's certainly not a concern for what gets stuck in the dishwasher. No one's eating that stuff ever. Although the tom of it, if you're worried, may get back into other dishes that you wash in there. But so it's not a shema yimtza gluska yafeh. It's a bali ro bali matzeh issue.
Right.
So that's Rashi.
The board with the dough in it, you're not actually using that on Pesach, right? I mean, you're just saying you don't have to get it out.
Right. It's a question. Do you have to clean that, like a bedikas chametz, and then while you're doing bedikas chametz, to make sure there's no crumb behind, there's no Kit Kat behind the piano. You also have to make sure that there's no chametz in the cracks in the dishwasher. I see it. As long as it's used, cooked up, and it's used with something caustic like that. So you're okay with that because
we were thinking about buying new racks, but when the rabbi said this, Johanna said to ask you about it.
We can talk further. I usually tell people if it's not stainless steel, but Moshe Feinstein says that you should change the racks if it's not stainless steel. All right, but we'll talk about it further.
Okay. Sorry.
All right.
Did you mention the names yet, or we'll do that after at the end?
You can do it now if you have it, Robbie.
One second.
Okay, Robbie, do you hear me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, you have it?
Yeah.
Okay, say some names now.
Okay. Yitzhak Yosef ben Dina Yocheved, Yitzhak Lei ben Yosef, Avram Abba ben Shendel, Reuven ben Malka, Ari Daniel ben Malka Gittel, Rocco Baslulu, Aaron ben Pesohena, Yaakov ben Chaya, Yisrael ben Sara Esther, Moshe Cohen ben Miriam Rus.
Okay, Moshe ben Sara Rochel. Howard, can you say your friend's names?
Robbie, have you heard anything about Ira? What's going on with Ira?
He was Nifter.
I know.
Robbie?
Who was Nifter?
Person that I was adding was Nifter early Monday morning.
Robbie, what's going on with Ira?
He's back at home. Thank God.
He's been home for a long time though, but is he getting better?
He's better than he was in. He was in intensive care.
Okay, Trevor, let's get back to
that. We'll talk after.
Okay. So he goes, let's continue in the Sefer HaChinuch. V'das HaRambam Zichron Levracha. This is in the Sefer HaMitzvot. She'im yesh b'ma'acholim elu kizayis chametz b'chadei achilas pras, osim in haTorah b'lav. If it has, it has to have the full kizayis that can be eaten with those other things in the chadei achilas pras. Now, most taruvas chametzes, think about it, whatever it is, a can of sardines, a bag of potato chips, peanut butter, jelly, whatever you have, a can of string beans, what is it? I mean, think of something that's not chametz be'en. Chametz be'en would be a pretzel, Cheerios, Kit Kat, something that has the real.
Is kutach habavli chametz be'en or not?
It's like breadcrumbs.
Because you would eat it in a kedei achilas pras.
Yeah, it's small breadcrumbs in a large milk,
dairy dip, yogurt, spicy kind dairy of. Dip.
Yeah, so it. Usually in Maseches Brachos, where it comes up, or wherever the topic comes up, is kutach is a kedayis b'chidiyah achilas pras.
Right.
The question in brachas is the yogurt the ikar? Is the kutach the ikar? It's a spicy milchix kind of dish with little pieces of bread, and it depends on the size of the bread. If it has teresa d'nama, there could be a motzi. If not, it could be a mizonos. But it seems that it has this characteristic of b'chizayis b'chidiyachilas pras, and then it would be chayav midaraisa b'lav. Klomer lamalkus avalola kares, but not for kares. In order to be chayav kares, it has to be mamish chametz. The kivon shenisarev barov, because even though you are in the end eating a kizayis b'chidiyachilas pras, this is something of a chiddush. What difference does it make if you're eating other things with it, right? Kivan Shinisari Barov, he says that it's not chayav kares, it's only a lav. V'im lo yihye bahem kizayis chametz b'chadechilas pras, lo yihye bo malkus elamakas mardus. And if it never reaches the threshold of a kizayis in the time it takes to eat an achilas pras, which is three eggs, right? Three eggs according to the Rambam, four according to Rashi, right, then you wouldn't get malkus. Makas mardus means it's still a violation of a drabbanah. As I said, Okay, that's the Rambam's chiddush, that if it's not actual chometz, an actual pretzel, an actual cracker, an actual Oreo cookie, then it's not kares, it's just a lav.
So I'm saying, like if you had ice cream that had little bits of cookie in it or something, like whatever these ice creams are that have little bits of cookie in it.
Yeah.
And you had a kezias of cookie eating that ice cream. So is that considered chametz ben for this, or that's kutach abavli?
The Rambam would say that's a lav, not chayav kares.
Okay.
What's interesting, though, is that you would still make a brahmin and mizonos on it.
Wow.
So it's interesting that in Hilchos Brachos, it may be that the mizonos is the ikar. In Hilchos Taruvus, it may be that the ice cream is the ikar.
Hmm.
Depending on the size. Because there's a memra of Rav and Shmuel in the sixth parak in Maseches Brachos that says that anything that has mizonos in it, as long as it's for taste, always maintains its bracha status.
Really?
Mizonos never becomes tofel unless it's used as to solidify something. Let's say you put in pieces of challah in a meatball dish to keep the meatballs from falling apart.
It's a flour in a meat thing to stick.
But that's flour in a chinami. If I'm talking, I know that the Rebbetzin sometimes takes some of the leftover challah and she mixes it in, and then the meatballs are really, they're supple and they don't fall apart. And they're like real, that's not even a mizonos. That's like tofel to the meat, because you didn't put it in there for the taste or anything like that. You just put it in there for the recipe called for it. So I put it in. All right. So to answer your question, yes, there would be a lav, but according to the Rambam, it wouldn't be kares.
So cookie dough ice cream with normally normal circumstances in mizonos? You have those little bits in it. I mean,
dough ice cream that's a dough, and I think that in that form, I've seen it. I never had it. I didn't like it, but I've seen it, and that dough is a mizonos.
So you have to make a mizonos on the ice cream?
Yeah, it has some thickness. Yeah, that's a mizonos.
It's really tough. Wow. I mean,
the name of the scoop is called cookie dough, but all right.
It's actually called usually chocolate chip cookie dough. So there's even more chocolate chips than cookie dough, and there's more and more ice cream than both.
Mizonos is never tough. Let's get back.
You would only get a lot for that, according to the Rambam.
Does Morris Does Morris Ayan play anything in this thing with Pesach? Like today you can get rolls on Pesach, you know, from the potato thing. Does Morris Ayan come in? Like I sent my son, you know, whatever to work with one of those rolls and a tuna fish. People may think that he's eating bread.
Yeah, so, okay, I'll tell you a Pesach of Rav Moshe Feinstein on this. When margarine first was introduced, Rav Moshe Feinstein paskined that if you use margarine at a fleishig meal, you have to keep out the wrapper. Right? The wrapper has to be on the table so no one should think you're eating butter. But now no one says you have to do this anymore because now the status of margarine is very well known. So I think when it comes to those kind of rolls, everybody knows this on Pesach. Right? Okay. I think everybody knows that those kind of potato starch rolls or whatever else is being used is very much out there these days. Okay. I'm in dati nota aleihem. I don't think this doesn't follow the spirit of the chag, but certainly not the musar about gaiva, right? Come, I want to do this Ramban. Ramban zichron levracha kasav hafech mize. V'amar shahalav hazeh einenu nechshav bechlal halavin. Ela shehu min halavin harabim shebau b'chametz u'b'so'or. V'zeh halav bo lehoros al ma shamru chachamim b'gemara ein li ela shenishametz me'elav. Chimtzu al yedei davar achar minayin tamud lamar kol machmetzes. So Ramban says he disagrees totally with this formulation of the mitzvah. He says that kol machmetzes lo sochelu is coming to teach you a different kind of a chiddush. Not that something can be separately usher besides a pretzel if it's a mixture of chametz. No. He says the chiddush of kol machmetzes is that it is usher midoraisa even though it's not edible. Right? Nobody eats yeast. If you ate a kezias of yeast, you'll say this is not an achila, right?
Right.
Remember, we had this when we were learning something like this came up when we were learning about not eating the Korban Pesach raw, right? So we were discussing whether eating the raw Korban Pesach is maybe it's shelo kederach achila. Who eats anything raw? If I would eat a raw piece of steak or chicken on Yom Kippur. There are some poskim who hold that you're not chayev because it's not nachila. It's not kederach achila. Who eats that steak way?
People right? do. It's called steak tartare.
Only that. So, that's special.
Yeah, but it has to be cooked a little bit. No.
People eat hamburger meat raw.
Okay.
It's prepared. All right,
but in
way.
The end,
it's prepared a certain way.
In the end, the Minchas Chinuch says that he proves from a Mishnah Meseches Yuma that eating raw meat is kederach achila. Okay. All right. So let me go. Let's go into the chinuch 1A. Everybody see what I wrote? 1A. Okay. B'nei im ein bo kezayis b'chadei achilas pras. You see it? So what happens if this thing you're eating has a kezayis of chametz in it, but there's no way you could ever eat that kezayis in an achilas pras because it'll take you 2 hours to get that much chametz.
Achilas pras is what, 2 to 9 minutes?
Yeah, I mean it depends on the rule. If it's Yom Kippur, we stretch it out. On right. Yom Kippur, a long achilas pras is a chumrah, so we stretch it out.
Right. Okay.
Right. On when it comes to eating matzah and maror, so you know you see they say it's just even a few minutes. And the question is, if an achilas pras, l'chora should be subjective. It's your achilas pras. Different people may have a different achilas pras. Right? Everyone has different levels. That's the question. It's, you know, when it comes to, let's say, a hiluch mil, you're supposed to kasher meat as long as it takes to walk a mil. That doesn't mean if you're kashering meat, find out how fast you walk a mill, and that's how long you have to salt it. No, no. For that, there is an objective definition of what a mill is. A mill is just a kilometer. How long does it take a sprinter to walk 12 blocks? Or how long does it take your Bubby Tilly to walk 12 blocks? Right? So when it comes to kashering meat, the chumrah is making it longer. So the minhag is to kasher meat for 30 minutes. Wow. When it comes to matzah, and the Gemara says that water that comes into contact with the flour for 18 minutes, for a hiluch meal, and if it comes into contact for longer than a hiluch meal, that matzah, that product will become chametz. So for that, we go l'chumra the other way. We call a hiluch meal 18 minutes. Right? That's the most machmir position. There are two other positions in the Gemara, 22 and a half minutes, and 24 minutes, all right? The Trumas Adeshen and Rashi. Okay, we go with the biggest chumra, which is 18 minutes. All right, so that's the objective definition of a hiluch meal. But when it comes to an achilas pras, it may be that the achilas pras should be given up to a certain shear of the eater. How long does it take you to eat an achilas pras? That's your shear, not 9 minutes, not 7 minutes, whatever your shear is. So if you want, before Yom Kippur, if someone knows they have to nebuch, they have to eat for whatever reason, let them eat three eggs, right? And see how long it takes them to eat three eggs, and that's what your achilas pras is. Okay? All right, but let's go back. If it doesn't have that much, so the Rambam says explicitly in Halachos HaFusuros, you see, I wrote on the side, Perek Tesvav, Halacha Beis and Gimel. No, he usually tells you where to look, but here he doesn't. He just says Machalos HaSuros. He says, Delokin, says Shom, Delokin Makas Mardus. So whenever the Rambam says Lokin Makas Mardus, he means like the Chinuch just said here, that it's only Midrabbanan. It's not a Doraisa. If it's Doraisa, he gets Malkus. What is Makas Mardus? What is that?
Okay, how many Malkus means is Makas Mardus?
Is what?
How many Malkus is Makas Mardus? Yeah. Or does it depend on how upset the person is?
The amount of times you have to hit him until he says, okay, I'll do it.
Right.
So it has the word makas, which means, you know, beating, and mardus means to get him to walk back from his rebellion.
Right.
Now, you know, there are laws in the Gemara about giving tochacha ad kedei hako'a. You ever see that? You have to rebuke him until he hits you. Until he hits you. All right. So he says, ve'eino mevuar dehu rak isur derabanan. So when the Rambam says he gets Makas Mardus, the Chinuch wonders, is that because the Rambam says that eating a kezayis, but not kedei achilas pras, right? He ate enough chametz to make a kezayis, but it took him 20 minutes to do it, right? So when the Rambam says that you get Makas Mardus, is that because he felt that it's only asur midrabbanan, or because it's chatzi shir? After all, if he ate a kezayis in 20 minutes, then he ate a half a kezayis in the kedei achilas pras, and that's called chatzi shir. And chatzi shir, the Rambam paskin, is asur min haTorah. So why does he only get makas mardus? Because you can't get malkus unless you have a kezayis. V'chein kan behilchos chametz u'matzah kosav. The osur, the lokin makas mardus. Here too, the Rambam says that if someone eats a kezayis of chametz on Pesach, it takes more than a achilas pras time. He says here too that he gets makas mardus. If Charlemagne, diminat Torah osur, afagav the kosav sham behilchos machalos asuros halacha beis, the tam levad enu rak derabanan. If shadavka tam the in klal. So the Chinuch is not convinced that to the Rambam, the reason for the Makas Mardus is that it's asur midrabbanan. He thinks that he can't get Malkus because you have to eat a kezayis to get Malkus. But he thinks it's still asur midrabbanan.
Is it chatzi shir?
Yeah, because it's Chatzis Shir. What would be the difference? The difference only applies to Shavuos, right? You know what I'm saying? Shavuot at the beginning the beginning of the last parak in Maseches Yuma that discusses the Chatzis Shir, whether it's Asim in the Torah or not. Talks about the nafkamina for Shavua. A Shavua is not chal on something that is also midoraisa. Okay.
Rabbi Schwartz, one second. There's one person who's not muted that leads to an echo. Mr. Howard Goodkin, if you could please mute yourself.
Thank you. It says mute.
He does not.
Okay. All right. Better. Okay. All right, so here the chinuch concludes the chol shu pachos michade achilas pras bottle the tam ki ikor eno elad rabbanan. Right, so he thinks that it's in the end it's asumid rabbanan, and what's the nafkamina for us? Here it is. If someone ate a kezayis b'chadei achilas in less than a kadei achilas pras on Pesach by mistake, that person does not have to feel bad about it. Okay, allow me to explain. There are all kinds of nafkaminas, whether something is asa midrabanan or whether something is asa midaraisa. But there's a very interesting klal, that the rabbanan's job is singular. Protect the Torah. The Rabbanan do not have the power to create, listen to this terminology, a cheftza shel iser. The rabbis cannot create something that is inherently forbidden. Only the Torah does that. So when the Rabbanan say not to do something, so if I violated it, bemazed, I violated it with arrogance and with chutzpah, so okay, I'm a chutzpahdik against the rabbinic authorities, which sometimes the Gemara treats more stringently. Remember, beginning of Brachas, Poreitz Geder Nachash Yechashenu. If he puts down the fence, he breaches the fence, a snake should bite him. So if we don't accept the fences the rabbis create for us, but mazid, so that's a problem. That person is chutzpah. But if the person did it by mistake or certainly by accident, so when you violate something by mistake and it's just between you and God, God is very, very forgiving. If I by mistake ate a piece of pork, I'm going to feel bad about that. After all, a korban chatos is for mistakes. But if I violated Rabbanan by mistake, I don't have to even feel bad about that. No, I don't. It was I had good intentions. I didn't mean wrong. And I didn't engage in a cheftza shel iser. Okay, clear. So yeah. if you by mistake ate a piece of beef with milk, you got to feel bad about that. But if by mistake you ate a piece of chicken with milk, you don't even give it any extra thought. Certainly that's not good the to next know. Kipper to for what you need.
Was that Robbie? Don't go with the chicken parmesan.
I said that's good to know.
By mistake is the key.
No, he said don't even feel bad about it.
If you did it by mistake.
By mistake.
Yeah. No chicken parmesan, Robbie.
All right. Yeah. Okay, so that would be a nafkamina for whether the chinuch is, whether the chatzis shir, whether a kezayis in more time than an achilas pras is a d'oraisa, but either he gets makas mardus because it's a chatzis shir, or whether it's a drabanan, and he sides that it's a drabanan.
Rabbi? Yes. This may be a dumb question, but wouldn't he automatically be over a bar yirah if he has this chametz in his possession, even though it's in taroves?
Yes, so that's the mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch says, Ovrin b'taroves chametz mishum bar yirah b'yamatzeh.
Then why isn't there a kimle, right? Kimle midravamine. What's this makas mardus have to do with anything? He's over a bigger Isur here that presumably hasn't.
No, but when it comes to Lav, when it comes to Isur Losa, say, we only say Kim Nebid Rav Mine when one of them is a Chiyuv Misa. But when it's lavs, then that's all over Maseches Makos. You have my nafkamina la'avor alav mishne mishum shne lavin. That he has to do there. You have separate kaparas, and you have to get two separate malchus even, or two. So kamash malan, that malchus you're going to get. We're not talking about that malchus here. That'll be a different mitzvah. Right now we're talking about an isra achila. The first two words in mitzvah yud beis are shalom b'chol. So that's a but you're right. The diuk in the mechaber is ovrin. He knew not to say over in Mishum Bal Tochal Chametz because it's impossible to get a Kazayis Bechadech Hilas Pras in practically every Taruvus Chametz.
Is barley from the Rabbanim or Mindaraisa?
What food?
Barley.
Barley is a Daraisa, it's a grain.
It's one of the five grains.
Yeah, but it says Chametz, meaning let bread coming up. I don't know if they, Rabbanim.
Grain. If barley is exposed to water for 18 minutes, right? Then if barley flour is, then it'll become chametz. Okay, look at 1b at the bottom of this page. Ach divrei harava mechaber sotrin zetze. The betchila kasav b'das harambam the im ein b'taruvus kedei achilas pras lo yevo malchus elamakas mardus. He quotes the Rambam first and says that if you have a mixture of chametz,
the rava mechaber is the chinuch here. He means the
I'm going to say for a chinuch on where it says ach the mincha.
No, but I mean
the minchas chinuch. Yes.
When he calls the rav and the chaper, he means the chinuch, right?
He means the sefer a chinuch. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So he thinks that he sees some kind of contradiction because let's look at the contradiction right away, right? Look at the first page of what I sent you. It should say ayin ches at the top. I underlined it. It says, "V'im lo yehiyeh b'hem kizayis chametz b'chadei achilas pras lo yehiyeh b'malkus ela makas mardus." And then the minchas chinuch was just discussing whether that's because it's asur midrabanan or because it's chatzi shir asur min haTorah and you can't get malkus for that. He cited that it's because it's asur midrabanan. And now look at the end of the sefer achinuch, the very end. I gave you three pages because the minchas chinuch wraps around to the third page, but the end of the sefer achinuch reads like this: V'noheges b'scharim v'nekevos b'chol makom v'chol zman. Men and women both have to keep this equally. V'ha'over aleha loke. And if you violate this and you eat a taruvus chametz where it's kedei achilas pras, you get malchus. Uvitznai shiyeh bohen kezayis b'chedei achilas pras kimo shamarnu. Aval ein bo kareis l'das haRambam zichron levracha. Right? Who cares if it's a taruvus? If it's a kizayis bechadei achilas pras, he ate chametz on Pesach. Now here's the kicker: v'im ein bo kizayis bechadei achilas pras, ein bo chiyuv malkus, eladino kedin chatzi shir she'osim in haTorah ve'ein lokin alav, uveze yodu shnehem zichron levracha. Wait a second. This wasn't clear before. The Minchas Chinuch himself was not clear in this, what his opinion was. Why is he saying this now? He says, "V'im ein bo kizayis b'chadei achilas pras, ein bo chiyuv malchus." Because he said because it was midrabanan. He says that outright. Look at the first page again. The fisha eino asim in haTorah ela midrabanan. Oh my goodness, this is a flagrant contradiction. And here he says, "V'im ein bo kizayis bechadei achilas pras, ein bo chiyuv malchus, eladino kedin chatzi shira she'osu min haTorah ve'ein lokin alav." Not the reason for the malchus is not because it's osu midrabanan. The reason for the lack of malchus is because it's chatzi shir. While it's osu min haTorah, then but you still can't get malchus because he doesn't have the shir. So this is a whole new can of worms here. This guy should feel bad if he violated it, because he violated the Doraisa.
In the one before, he's quoting the Rambam, no?
Yeah, yeah. But he says that Avol Ein Bo.
He says V'chein Yodu Rambam. Sure, but in the latter one, he's saying it in his own name. Here in the former one, he's quoting the Rambam. No,
but then he says at the end, Uvazeh Yodu Shneihem Zichron
Levracha. Right. Okay.
He quotes the Rambam here too, and then he quotes the Rambam, and he says this, on this, the Ramban and the Rambam would both agree. Rambam would agree with the Ramban on this.
Right.
And then the Mama Nafkamina I said before slips away. If you ate a chatzi shir, so now you see that if you eat a half a kezias of beef with milk, you need to feel bad about that because that you violated a Torah principle. So what emerges from here, by the way, is that eating a half a kezias of beef with milk is worse than eating a kezias of chicken with milk.
Do you mean they're cooked together?
Cooked together, yeah.
Or eating them together.
Eating them after they were cooked together.
Yeah, right.
Because cooking chicken with milk isn't even a violation of a drabana. Nafkamina for that is if you're, let's say, and I've had this once, we did a conversion for a French chef, and he was ready to lose his job because in French restaurants, they're constantly cooking cheese with meat products. So we actually worked it out with him that he would do the cooking for only for the chicken and the goose and the duck. It was a really fancy French restaurant. He would do the fowl dishes with cheese, and he wouldn't be given the steak cheese and the veal cheese.
Right? So could you technically, you're saying you could have it cooked together, chicken and milk, and then you could eat it separately. If you take the chicken out of the milk, can you now eat it?
No. Once it's cooked together, it's also midrabanan. But chicken and milk never reaches a doraisa threshold.
But I thought it's eating, not also eating is the bad
thing. Eating is the bad thing. But hana'a and cooking it isn't also at all for the chicken.
I understand. So you said even with the rabbanim, it's not usher to cook the chicken with the milk.
Right, but it's always usher with the rabbanim to eat it.
But you're not eating it with the milk. It was cooked already, and now it dried out. Now you're eating it now.
No, but it always
means no Saint Tom or whatever. It has it.
Yeah, and the milk was drenched in it, and it was the milk already created a Tom Keiker and. So and chaticha nasis nevela, the whole thing became a piece of unkosher food.
Rabbi, did you get the guy to cook for you at least? Cook something. No,
he had some of that chicken and milk.
You see, the there are certain safeguards that needed to be put in for chicken for the sake of meat. But in some of them, we didn't need the safeguard at all. We didn't need to safeguard the hana and the cooking. It was just for the eating part. But it's an interesting concept that emerges from this last line here is that a kezias of chicken with milk is not as bad as a half a kezias of beef with milk.
Right, because the half a kezias of beef.
Right, passes over the threshold of chatzi shir asur min haTorah, as opposed to the chicken, which never passes the threshold of asur min haTorah. Right. Okay. So let's go to number two. V'hinei al kol panim im nomar b'pshitus the tarubis chametz b'chazayis b'chadiyah chilas pras over belav, which the chinuch says everybody agrees with. That if it's just a question of whether it's chayav kares or chayav malchus, the Ramban says it's chayav kares. The Rambam says it's only malchus, right? So he says nirla nivas daiti, third line derech mashal im nisariv kezayis chametz b'shnei beitzim dahainu b'socha achilas pras. So a kezayis chametz got mixed up with two eggs. That's a kedias achilas pras because achilas pras is three eggs, right? So a kezayis of chametz got mixed up with two eggs worth of food, bulk of food. Oh, what did he do? He ate one beitza worth of that whole thing. In Cain, lo achal rak chatzi zayis chametz. Right, this whole new thing is now. He ate it all mixed up together, and he ended up eating only half of a kezias,
or even less.
Yeah, because the zayis is also part of something, right?
Right.
Uvetoch achilas pras ochal chatzi zayis chametz gamur, And then within that achilas pras, he ate a chatzi zayis of a pretzel. So he says, Vadai eino chayev kares. The chatzi zayis harishon hayarak lav. Vein hakal mitzarif lechamor. I just did this Gemara today in Me'ila. I love when this happens. My Seder for in Kachim, I'm just up to Me'ila Daf Yud Zayin today. So
you had a chatzi zayis of this mixture, and then a chatzi zayis of regular chametz.
Leave it to the chinuch to the minchas chinuch to come up with such a hecha timsa. He ate two half a kizayis of chametz, but one that was part of a taruvus, which according to the Rambam is only a lav, and then there is a chatzi zayis of chametz be'en, which is, everybody agrees, is chayv kares. By the way, according to the Ramban, this would mitzdarif, right? It seems that according to the Ramban, this would mitzdarif. Okay, because a half a kezayis b'achilas pras with another half a kezayis b'achilas pras, right? And together it's a full
kezayis. Right, because the whole kezayis of the tarobes is
surely, kar. Yeah, surely the half of a kezayis will mitzdare for the full chametz ben, right? But according to the Rambam, he says it's a chiddush that leave it to the chinuch to come up with a chiddush like this that says that this cannot be mitzdareif because the Mishnah Me'ila says that if you're going to mitzdareif different items, they have to be on the same level. You can't mitzdareif something that's usher in one level together with something that's usher on another level. Okay? This does work, by the way, in one area of halacha, in tumah. Right? Half a shear of something that's tumah, let's say on a first degree, with half a shear that's tumah on the second degree, the first degree will mitzdarif to the second degree, at least to be like a second degree. Not the first, but the second degree, yes. Right? So on Tumah, the poskim allow this kind of thing. But we already know, Jerry, remember we did this Mishnah, that half of a shear of Orla and half of a shear of Kilayim do not mitzdarif. In fact, listen to this incredible chiddush. The Orla can mitztaref with the heter to help mevatel the kilayim, and the kilayim can mitztaref with the head, the bigger heter to mitztaref the orla to mevatel the orla. Okay, so much so that you need the things to be on the same level in order to. Another interesting two different things that can mitzdarif, even though they're very different, is dam sheretz and the guf of the sheretz. Right? That's very, very rare. These are just trivia questions. Okay. All right. So that's an afkamina, he says here. All right. Let's just quickly go to number three. Three, it says chametz nuksha. Okay, it says v'nei cham nuksha yesh shitos to svira lehu da'asim in a Torah, v'gam kein mikra zed dechol kol machmetes lo tochelu. What does kol come to add?
Chametz nuksha again is what, like egg matzah or what? What is
chametz? So the reason why it's called this is from the word mokesh, ki mokesh hu lach. A mokesh is a synonym of a michshol,
a snare.
It's a snare. It stumbled. The chometz stumbled. It didn't actually
trap. It's like a trap.
Yeah, it didn't get the fullness of the chometz. It got it got trapped along the way to where it's prevented from reaching its full extent of becoming chometz. So that usually refers to anything that's stunted because it didn't follow the rules of chometz, which is one of the five grains that comes into contact with water for a certain amount of time, and it's only water that can make chimutz. And if something other than water, like honey or eggs or fruit juice, made this thing chametz, then it's called chametz nuksha. Now, Sfaradim and Ashkenazim have different halachas about this, but let's see its ramifications for our halacha. Yeshitos de Sfira Lahuta Asmina Torah. The Gum King Mikra Zed, the Chol Machmetzes Lotochelu, to come to include Chametz Nuksha. Vyesh Sorim de Lohavi Rak Midrabbanan. Some say that's the Ashkenazic Psak, is this Ayin Tur or Achayim Simantov Membeis. Vayin Bachronim de Tre Nuksha Yesh. Look at the Achronim, that there are two different types of Nuksha. And this is manifest a lot between in the disputes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, right? Over what, when chimutz kicks in. Remember in the Gemara the insect antennas and the lines that start to come into the cracks and the pale color in the dough. Okay, ba'in ba'achronim detre nukshehu yesh. You see in the achronim that there are two different levels of chametz nuksha. Osama nechshavim b'mishneh psachim daf mem beizim ad aleph sovrim tehem midrabanan umei peros imayim modim dehavei doraisa. Now you see, mei peros imayim, this has ramifications for other halachas also. When you make, I don't see it so much anymore, but I remember we used to have this. It was like frozen apple juice. You ever see it? Frozen orange juice.
Yeah, concentrate.
Concentrate. You get a small little container. You open up and you put it. It's very concentrated. You put it into a big pitcher, and then you have to break it down a little bit, put it in the water, and then all of a sudden you have now 2 quarts of orange juice. So, but that's water. That's mamish water in there. Now, orange juice squeezed from oranges, that's water also in there. But here's the point, is that a lot of the people were relying on this kind of thing for brachos with bread. Like pasa baba kisnin, it wasn't made with water, so the bracha is not a motzi. Yeah, but it was made with concentrated juices. That's actual water in there. You can't be sure. It needs a hashgacha to let you know that it was used with actual fruit juice. Usually those things are made with concentrated juice. So here's the point that the Chinuch wants to make, is that chametz nuksha that had pure juice from an apple, only from an apple, then that's going to be what's called chametz nuksha. It's not going to be midaraisa. But if you needed that big vat of dough with concentrated apple juice or whatever other juices are used, together with water like I just described, that's going to be real chametz. That's water after all. So someone's going to say, what difference does it make? What comes out of a squeezed apple is also water.
Right. What is the difference between the Sephardim and the Ashkenazim and Nuksha?
So Ashkenazim and Mamachmir, they only allow the usage for sick people who can't digest the matzah. Allow egg matzahs lechatchila.
Isn't concentrate the juice with the water removed? That's what the concentrate is, right?
The rabbi means the concentrate when you add back the water.
You're adding back the water.
So if you added back the water, okay, so it's not, it's okay.
In other words, he means the remade juice.
The remade juice, okay. So right. Even though it's really the same, it, like you say, it's not, it's actual water instead of natural water. But
right.
The stuff that.
Sorry, Rob, really, I looked at the clock just now for the first time. It's 8:59. I'm sorry. It's hard to believe where the time runs. But
Nuksha for 1 second.
Yes.
So is it a question of, let's say you can't be yosi your mitzvah matzah with it, but is it chametz? Is it chametz? Like, are you allowed to have egg matzah on Pesach or not?
No,
it's a person.
Even the Ashkenazim wouldn't hold that it's certainly not chayv kares and it's not chayv alav. It's a question of except if you use the actual water. With the concentrated that I just described. That's why he mentioned the two achronim. Who
said, right, but if I buy a box of egg matzah, if I go into, wherever you buy egg matzah, and I buy a box of egg matzah, and I have that on Pesach, am I over Bal Yirai, Bal Yimatzeh?
No, not at all. No, and you can have it after Pesach.
So why can't you have egg matzah on Pesach? They only say usually the last day.
I understand, because you're asking an interesting question for people who don't eat gebrochts. They'll eat gebrochts on the last day. It's a similar kind of chumrah, because we're afraid that the next step after eating chametz nuksha is that you may eat the chametz not leavened with apple juice, but leavened with concentrated apple juice and water. But the question of gebrachts is that maybe if I put in my matzah product in especially something hot water, that maybe the matzah product was not cooked properly, and the matzah will therefore rely on the klal ein chimutz acharafia, that nothing can become chametz after it's fully baked. Maybe it wasn't fully baked. That's what it is. Right?
Right.
So in all of this, there's also a nafkamina for the hasra, for the warning. If someone's about to violate the mitzvah, we have to know how are we warning them. Are we warning them on the chametz gamur? Are we warning them on the taruvus chametz? So that's also an interesting nafkamina.
I don't understand. What's the final thing? Can you have egg matzah on Pesach?
So because Ashkenazim are so machmir on so many things on Pesach, this being one of them, so if it was actual chametz, we would tell a person who can't digest matzah, don't eat matzah. Instead, we'll tell him, it's Pesach. I know you want to eat this thin product. Eat egg matzah instead. We would never say something like that if it was Asa Midaraisa. Okay.
But it's not even us a minderabanan.
Yeah, I would say it's a minhag. Yeah, it's a minhag, like not eating kidneys.
Rabbi, this keeps coming up because Erev Pesach is Shabbos, and I keep hearing that people are going to use it on Shabbos or whatever.
Yeah.
Are you gonna do something on the halachos of Pesach when Erev Pesach turns out to be Shabbos?
Yeah, they're always these pamphlets that come out. I have one for every year in the last 100 years that it's always you're gonna get.
This all seems very confusing now. I'm confused already.
Yeah. So the bigger problem is the problem of eating matzah on Erev Pesach.
Not eating chametz on Erev Pesach, but eating matzah.
Yishalmi. The bigger problem is not eating matzah on Erev Pesach. Is egg matzah a violation of that Yerushalmi?
I see.
Right?
Wow. Okay.
I thought you're supposed to eat a challah.
Yeah, that's if you're able to finish by whatever the zman is.
Fourth hour.
It's after the clock change already, so you have a little more time. But that's the question also.
Yeah.
Well, whatever you have left over, you should finish it off, when you can.
Yeah, I agree. All right, everybody. Have a great, great week.
Thank you.